This episode of The Instance is brought to you by our friends at DoghouseSystems.com. I love my doghouse system. I would make out with it if it weren't illegal. Or maybe it isn't illegal. Hey, whatever, man. In the privacy of your own home, right? I really do love this this rig. And I play a lot of video games on it. And so will you. WoW never looked better on anything, ever. So go check them out. DoghouseSystems.com is the place. Use the code Henry. That's the name of my Warcraft pet. At checkout. Henry, just like it's spelled. Like a normal name. That'll get you double the memory. That's at DoghouseSystems.com.
How dare you say that?
First, I would totally buy a Blizznebo, so that needs to happen.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 402. Get that backwards. 402 is a lot more than 204. It's Friday, February 20th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Terpster. Hello, Terpster.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
Hello. How are you?
I'm okay. That's about all I want to talk about, Scott. Okay. I fear if I say any more, people will critique how confrontational we are, Scott.
Yeah,
okay?
We'll get to that.
Amiibos.
Right.
Everyone loves them.
Everyone loves them.
Uh-huh. I tip my hat to the gentleman who conceived the idea, Dr. Amiibo at Blizzard HQ.
Uh-huh.
Or as he's known to us, Mr. Scott Johnson.
That's the guy. Also with us, Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Yes, well, you know what? When you hired me, Scott, when we had our interview, you told me the instance is a little bit too quiet. We need more controversy. We need a little bit more pizzazz.
Uh-huh.
And I think we've been following that request,
yeah.
And that's why we disagreed with you on trivial things when clearly we were
Patrick, I don't think I've ever disagreed with anyone over something trivial, okay? So if you could refrain from saying stuff like that, that would be magic.
Yeah, I think it was great conversation, and it was an awesome topic, and here's the proof of it. The entire week's feedback was nothing but, and I'm not trying to toot a horn here, but mostly people agreeing with me about this Blizmeebo idea.
That is not true.
And a few people dissenting.
What a bold-faced lie, Scott. You're lying.
You should see the internet. You guys should see the emails. You should have heard so many calls. Twitter was aflame. It was insane. It was an insane week.
So I still want to say something, though. I disagree still. I think it doesn't really make business sense for a whole lot of reason, and figurines are different from
But
what I do want to say is that I think it did get a little bit overboard last week, and it was a little bit, you know, bullish and a little bit disrespectful. And I think there's a way to disagree and still be entertaining and still be, you know, putting Scott in his place without piling the way we did.
Well,
so
look,
for that, I'm a little bit sorry.
It's fine, but the irony of it all was as soon as we hung up, that I guess it had already broken, but it was news to me, but that news came out that Blizzard was going to make Heroes of the Storm figures, which seemed to be about, I think as Herbster put it, 50% of the prediction, but not quite the full Monty, and I would agree. You know what the funny thing is after a lot more thought and all this sort of back and forth with people, the consensus seems to be that people would go crazy in buying these figures just like they do with any collectibles. The part that everybody kind of agrees on, including me, is it is a stretch to say, hey, there should be a little platform with a chip inside that like reads data and integrates things into games. I don't think that's where they go with this idea, if they go there at all. If at the very most, this is how I will addendum my prediction. At the very most, we get maybe Heroes of the Storm, maybe something else, but figurines that include a code, and that code might unlock the same character or a skin in Heroes of the Storm. Like, it might be specifically a Heroes of the Storm thing, and if you go buy Arthas in the store for $15, that includes a code that unlocks Arthas in the game. Something like that seems like a reasonable, fun idea, and that is maybe
the furthest they'd take it. With the Windrider Cub and stuff like that.
Sure.
Of doing things in that ilk.
Yeah, they could do that. Whether they do it or not is an open question, and there's all sorts of reasons financially that they may or may not want to ever do that. But to me, it seems like, you know, there'd be, at least there's that, you know, that whole thing on the internet where you say, here's a cool idea, and then everyone goes, take my money. But really only about 5% of them ever want to really spend money. The percentage game there is tricky. So I don't know how many people would actually do it, but yeah.
And there's also the fact that those figures, first of all, they've been doing figurines for a long time, and those, they're not doing them themselves. They're, you know, it's a licensing deal.
Sure.
So it changes things a little bit, but a code. Yeah. I think we would all agree that's definitely possible. It doesn't have the same manufacturing and development implications that the platform connected thing does, but
sure. Yeah. You open up a package, inside's a little code, you plug it in. Now you've suddenly got a, you know, pajama wearing version of one of the characters in HOTS or whatever. You know, those kinds of ideas seem like a way to tie that in and get people excited. I don't think they're going to announce any of that at PAX, but later in the show, we will talk about our PAX predictions as it pertains to three properties that aren't WoW. So I want people to be prepared for this. We're going to get all the WoW stuff out of the way, and then we're going to talk about other Blizzard things that may or may not be happening at PAX East from the teams that represent HOTS, Overwatch, and Hearthstone. They're the three that are going, or the three that have been advertised as going. And I, you know, I don't know what they would do with WoW anyway, but there's been no mention of any kind of Warcraft-specific presence. And maybe that's just because, hey, here's our 10-year-old game. Everything's going fine. There's a new patch. You know, what are we going to talk about at PAX? But they do have a tradition in Boston of announcing big things. So maybe one of these three things will get some big announcements. Probably Overwatch getting most attention is my guess, because everything else is kind of a known quantity.
We can discuss it.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So anyway, thank you all for your feedback. Unfortunately, what it did is it kind of clogged the pipeline with nothing but BlizzMeebo conversations. Like this is not kidding. I probably got 20 or 30 phone calls this week. We average maybe 10 or 15 a week. We got 20 or 30. All of them, except for a precious like three, were BlizzMeebo calls. They all kind of said the same thing, which was, I agree with Scott, it'd be a great idea. But the point, I'm not even sure that people should be agreeing with me, but that seemed to be the main thing. So I'm not going to play all those calls.
I think that's kind of ironic, though, that now you're sort of going back on the connected aspect of the figures.
Well, I never fully embraced that. In fact, no. If there was a disconnect last week, you can blame Skype, you can blame whatever. But I think if there is a disconnect, it was how much emphasis you guys thought I was putting on the platform and the chips and stuff. And
that's definitely what we were saying would be unreasonable.
Sure, sure. And after, I listened to the entire show again, by the way, because I felt like this was a precedent-setting episode. And there's definitely that. And so that played a role. But beyond that, I think these kinds of discussions are good. Like, I want people out there listening to know, just to sort of finish out this conversation, that anything goes. If somebody's got a thing, an idea, a disagreement, whatever, we're all maybe the best friends I've ever had, outside of some kid I grew up with.
Well,
so,
yeah.
So it's not like anything. You guys could be full on angry. It still wouldn't matter. It'd be like mad at your wife. You're still going to make up and go to dinner later.
I'd like to think of us like friends, but with benefits. So like, you know, I that's why I describe you guys to like my wife. I say like, you know, these are my friends with benefits.
Yeah.
And it's because we're friends, but at the same time,
yeah,
we don't hold back from each other.
Did she then ask you what you do over Skype with these men?
Oh, I said no, it's fine. I said it's just Patrick's normally on webcam.
Yeah.
Scott just likes to kind of talk and just kind of be there. He was always watching and stuff. But you know, he kind of organizes it all and gets us all together.
Yeah.
And then we enjoy each other's company.
Right. That sounds vague enough to not be weird. Anyway,
why would it be weird? It wouldn't be weird.
Well, you know, just saying. So anyway, that's that. This is this. Let's do a show. We actually do have big news, and it comes in the form of a patch. And I'm going to play this little bumper, and then we're going to talk about it. It's the big news of the week, which is 6.1 is on Tuesday.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's exciting.
Have you got everything ready?
Let's talk about what we need to be ready for. The fluffiest patch of all time, which includes Twitter integration, selfies.
Scott, I cannot get, I cannot wait to tweet all my adventures. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait for my morning tweet, which will be me doing my garrison. Uh-huh. And then maybe my lunchtime tweet, which will be me obviously doing my garrison again, like doing my missions, and maybe a random dungeon. And I just think my Twitter followers, I just think like you guys have lucked out.
Yeah, okay? I'm going to do my crystal run.
Someone won the Twitter lottery today. And those are those people. They're going to...
You're making fun, but I'm sure you guys are going to be at least tweeting once a selfie of your character with Pepe on his head.
One time. Or her head.
No, I don't follow the whole Pepe thing. I'm not a big fan of the bird.
What?
Yeah.
How can you not like Pepe?
Everyone loves him too much because everyone loves him too much, Scott.
Oh, because you want to be special.
I'm like a hipster. And so I've decided not that bothered about old Pepe. What I do like, though, with the Twitter integration is that you can crop your screenshots.
Yeah.
And that's such a little detail that is like, oh, Blizzard. Yeah, well, good job, Blizzard. Good job.
Well, it's a little detail that's required, though, because otherwise a full screenshot of what you're doing in WoW with all your UI and your mess.
But that's what every other MMO that does it has done.
Yeah.
They've just, you know, shit out a feature and just been like, there you go, Twitter integration. Make sure it's got our hashtag. Maybe we'll trend if someone did something. You know, think of the opportunities. Mm-hmm. Whereas Blizzard's like, well, hang on, should we make it so it's actually kind of functional and people want to use it?
Useful in some way, yeah.
And the other thing is they go out of their way to say that this is not, this it will, first of all, it's not on by default. You have to actually go and activate it yourself. And then you only tweet when you actually want to tweet, which I think most MMOs do that, but it's very clear that if some people have concerns that WoW is going to start tweeting for you all of your achievements and loots, it's not. You have control over your tweets. Although, I just thought about Pepe being, you know, the bird of like Twitter. If there was a blue Pepe, maybe it could be like an auto Twitter thing.
That'd be amazing. Every time you tweet, he flies down. He has a little camera, takes a picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'd be like your quadcopter hover drone.
They could put it into a gold sink. Sure. And so it could be like, oh, for every time you tweet, though, that's going to cost you. And then everyone's like, oh, that's good. There's some more gold sinks in the game. I always like, you know, feeling like there's gold sinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love spending that gold.
It would be kind of funny if they actually made it cost something. It would make it. I think to it, because everyone's going to go in and try it once and go like, okay, this is whatever. Unless, you know, you actually defeat a boss or something. But if it costs something, a little bit of gold, maybe you'd be like, oh, this has value. Maybe I should keep my tweets for when I actually want to tweet. And like, I inject value into that action. And so I want to do it a little bit more often. Mm. No, that's just a stupid idea.
I think a lot of it, though, is really just down to, oh, I got this sweet. I finished the set of transmogs I wanted. So here's a nice cropped photo of me facing the camera. That is a meaningful thing to people who may follow you, who are interested in how you're doing in the game. It's not, you know, there are going to be problems with people spamming too much and whatever. You shouldn't follow those people anyway. But, you know, just do a thing that makes sense for this kind of functionality and say, all right, look, I just did a rad thing. I just took down the Lich King solo because you can do that now. And here he is laying on the ground. And
no, what you tweet is that bit when the Wrath of Frostmourne doesn't kill you. he's standing there being like, oh, I have won. And you're like walking around, dude, we can't hit you yet. Don't worry. Tyrion's going to break out in a bit.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the cool thing. You've got all these fun things in the game. I think for me, it's going to be every time the game breaks, I'm going to want to tweet that.
Yeah.
Anytime though, I'm like, this is hilarious. This is great. Mm-hmm. That for me is some of the best bits.
Yeah, I agree. So that stuff's coming. The crop tool is nice. And I'm glad that they thought ahead that way. It's interesting though, because it must have been kind of a pain or whatever to take their existing engine and say, we need to make a little like mini Photoshop croppy tool in here. And, you know, that's functionality. The game isn't going to just present you naturally. So I'm glad they went that extra bit, you know, like people are like, well, geez, it took them long enough to have this thing. Rift was doing that years ago. Well, yeah. Where's Rift now? How's Rift doing? Like Blizzard focused on the game.
Not great.
No.
Not great, Scott.
Now, but what do you say about this? So there is some, not consternation, but some criticism of 6.1 being kind of a light and fluffy patch. I mean, the raid content that we care about next is already happening. So this isn't a patch that contains a new raid.
Have you done the new raid?
I haven't yet. I was going to do LFR yesterday, and I didn't have time.
So. I did some LFR today.
How'd it go?
OMG's amazing.
Yeah, first, I keep hearing good things about it.
The furnace boss at the end. Like, the first, I felt like there was a bit much trash at first. Mm. And I thought, no, you're being unfair, T. It's, you know, go easy on them.
Yeah.
They're learning still, mm-hmm. okay? They can't be as good at game design as you inherently are, obviously. but outside of that, I thought it was just really, really good.
Yeah.
The last encounter for the LFR has you basically take out the heart of the mountain, which is trapped in this big furnace, and you have to basically kill bombers and then put your bombs into blowing up the heat regulators, and it just felt like a real experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I'm hearing nothing but good things, and I haven't even watched video because I don't want to spoil it until I needed to get some strat down and stuff, because we're not going in there.
Exactly. The first time you do it, you're like, oh nuts, that's hard.
What is that sound? You guys hear that?
I think it's me. Sorry. It's me. Yeah, clicking where I shouldn't.
I was thinking, like, is my PlayStation on? That sounds like a PlayStation.
Yeah, it kind of did. It kind of did.
Sorry. My bad.
I'm very excited about that content, though, because the second patch, the second wave, is always my favorite stuff that Blizzard puts out when it comes to raid stuff. The final thing's okay, but you end up grinding it for a year, and the first stuff is kind of all right, but not, you know, whatever. It feels like it's preview. Like, Heimal's a bit of a preview, kind of a holdover, stopgap. The middle bit is always my favorite. So bring it on, I say. I'm excited to get into Foundry. So let's talk about the other stuff that's come with 6.1 and whether or not it matters to us. It's on the background downloader now, so if you've got yourself set up to do that, you are already getting the patch, which will go live on Tuesday. We will have new Blood Elf models. Sadly, they do not come with new voices. Because I freaking still can't stand the...
Pelennor Delalore.
Those guys. They're the worst. Even their laugh. Just change their laugh. That'd be all right. Or their overly exuberant death sound. Any of that. Could use some tweaks. Anyway, those are coming. Are we excited about those? Anybody play a Belf here? Or am I the only one with like a...
No.
A sad little Blood Elf I heard.
No, I think I played the Belf a little bit when I was playing on the US servers, but then I switched to an undead because, you know, gothic horde, like angry teenager style.
Right. Like you do.
But yeah, you do.
Yeah.
As you do.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't. Hey, Mr. English.
Fine. No, that's fine.
Mr. English.
But the thing is, no, I don't really mind the Blood Elves as much as people do, because I don't know, maybe it's because I'm French and I'm comfortable with my feminine side.
Unlike everyone else, by the way. By the way, I gotta say something to you real quick. You got the most angry emails and replies because you made a comment on the show, and I actually have
again?
Proof. I actually have proof that it happened, because there were some people that were questioning whether or not I was saying it, but you had kind of inadvertently thrown all people who like collectibles under the bus as silly and immature, and I thought, well, no, he didn't say that. So I had one of my little runners go into the show and edit out a piece of audio.
Really?
And I wasn't gonna play this, but I'm gonna play it real quick. We'll see what people, you know, whether or not this stands as accused or not. But
now comes the revenge of Scott Johnson.
Here's the one. I think it's this one. Here we go.
What I'm saying, Scott, I'm not making fun of the people, of the adults who are buying it, although I could. I think it's kind of silly, but, you know, whatever. To each their own.
There you go. That's the one.
Oh,
well, to each their own. To each their own.
Come on. So I'm sure,
there's no way I can get out of this one, is there?
Probably not. It's all right.
No, it's... Listen. It's not for me, is all I'm saying.
Right.
I'm sure there are things that I do, like, you know, I eat stinky cheese, and you're like... What is his deal? He's weird.
Yeah, what a weirdo.
I'm not like, hey, you just called me weird because I eat stinky cheese. Maybe you should eat stinky cheese too, and you would like it. Don't call me weird.
No, you're totally. It's totally fine. Like I'm with you on this one.
But it's true. It's true. I don't really get it. It's true. It's not for me, and maybe that's why I But anyway, it's I wasn't suggesting that you are all silly. I just saying that to me, if I wouldn't do it because it's not for me. That's
right.
All.
Right, and that's all he meant. So he barely knows English. Give the guy a break.
Or is it? Or am I? Or am I really trying to make you think that I don't think you're silly, but really, I really think you're silly. By the way, Terpser is kind of my friend, and he's the silliest person I know.
Oh, so without question. Totally.
And that is a fact. Plus, I have a lot of collectibles.
Yeah.
So by his same definition, I am silly.
Yeah, you are silly by any definition, really. I also am excited about I'm not so excited about Heirloom Collections tab. Great, whatever. That's quality of life stuff, and we need it there, especially if they're going to
Because this is interesting, because they've made it so you can kind of level up your heirlooms a bit more and do fun things. So there's other stuff to do.
Yeah.
But how many people are leveling? I don't know. I don't know if it for me, I guess, you know, I'm just looking at it and thinking it's 40 quid over here. What was it, $60?
$60 for a boost? Yeah.
I'm pretty much always going to boost.
I would
and
too.
At the same time, probably not going to make that many new characters.
I mean, basically what they're at, if they want me to level again, it would be because I find that enjoyable. And there are times I do. But if I'm really looking at the time it would take versus what I really want to do with that character in the end, it's worth the $60. That doesn't mean I'm going to do it every day, but it means that if I do have a hankering to say, you know, I really want a druid finally, I don't want to start from scratch. I don't know who does. So heirlooms are less, you're right, they're just less important than they used to be.
But can't they level all the way to 100 though, the heirlooms?
Yeah, they can. So they'd have that. That's true.
Yeah.
You'd have your 90 to 100 and then presumably in the new expansion, 100 to whatever, same deal. So either way, it's a nice quality of life thing. Again, it doesn't feel like any of the stuff so far for a patch is groundbreaking, but there it is. The one I'm kind of excited about, and I don't even know why I'm excited about this, but the death recap UI thing, the little screen that'll tell you after you die what killed you, how, and other data is kind of exciting to me for some reason. And I assume, and the reason I'm excited is not because I want to be out in the middle of nowhere by myself and get killed by a boar and go, oh, the thing says I got killed by a boar with 500 damage or whatever.
I see. I got owned by a boar.
I want to see in a raid environment. I know there are mods that do this, so I understand that, but I want like a death recap. Like, oh, did I stand in the fire? Was it this other guy's weird aura that got me? You know, like those kinds of bits of information are always interesting to me. So I'm always happy when Blizzard integrates a lot of that stuff into the default UI, and hopefully this is cool. I've not seen it on PTR, so I can't speak to it. But
the people in the chat room are asking if it's for Arena only. I was under that impression as well.
I was under the impression it was everything when you died. That's what I read. Is that not true? I could be misinformed.
Let's go to the Steward's Inquiry. Let's have a look.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Death recap screen. When a character is killed, a new screen shows more information on what killed you. And then there's no specification about the arena or anything like that. Yeah. So presumably, it's for everything.
Yeah, it should be for everything. Why not? I mean, they have the data. They know the boar killed me. You know? Or the PvP guys.
I guess it can be turned off.
Yeah.
Do you remember, though, I mean, in early WoW, there was something special about you sat down to eat, the phone rang, you got up to go get the phone, a boar popped 3 feet from you, and when you came back, you were dead. Like, there was something about that there was a danger to the world that doesn't really exist now. Like, I don't think that would happen. You know, like, one creature would gnaw on me for a while at level, and I would just kind of, oh, he's gnawing on me, I probably should kill him now. Like, there's way less of that kind of, everything in this world is deadly if you're not watching your back. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, just saying it's something I kind of miss occasionally. All right, what else? Flight path improvements. By the way, did I mention this? This is all breakdowns of 6.1. That's what we're doing here, in case someone's wondering why we're talking about stuff we've kind of talked about before. Flight path improvements to Draenor, so that's coming. That'll help you feel less, those who are stressed about not flying, you'll feel a little better about that anyway. It'll be a little more efficient, quicker, and so on. We've talked about selfies, Twitter integration, and all that. The visual improvements I'm actually kind of excited about. I have a new video card, and I'd love maxing everything out with that card and making everything look crazy good. And why not WoW with these visual improvements? I'm not colorblind, I've heard, that colorblind stuff is good. Like, people are very pleased with what they're going to do who suffer from said colorblindness. So that seems good.
How do they pick what the other colors are going to be, though?
You go in and choose yourself. So you choose
your own spectrum of colorblindness.
Correct, because everybody's different, right? There's some that may fall into the same category occasionally, but for the most part, you know, some people see more red than they do blues, or vice versa, or whatever. My dad had a little colorblindness, and so his problem was anytime something was presented to him that was supposed to be improved for colorblind folks, it was never tuned to him. What this thing, this UI looks like it will let you do is literally kind of almost like Photoshop, color swatch style, like a color wheel. Go in there and adjust things to be exactly what you want to see. And that's great. I think that's really cool they're doing that. The number one...
Can I use it as someone who doesn't have color blindness?
Totally could.
So basically have it like die sets for my armor. Can I make it so like, okay, I've always fancied this, but in green.
Uh-huh. You could, except then your character, like, I don't know if my orc looks good purple, but sure. If my armor look green, then I guess I'm happy. Yeah. You can tweak it any way you want.
And then you can tweet it.
Yeah.
So,
wouldn't that be amazing?
Element to that.
Yeah.
And then I say, look, if you want to know the settings, just follow me. I'm going to let all my followers know sometime during the week what my colorblind settings are. And everyone's like, oh my God, they're so cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I know. I get it. I understand.
Garrison Music Box coming. That's something people have wanted, I suppose. Again, it's all very fluffy stuff, in my opinion. You know, there's
a ton of Garrison stuff you're not really mentioning in the notes.
Yeah, but it's all new follower missions and a few. So
there's the legendary follower, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Am I spoiling?
No,
we said it. Haven't
no, we have. We've talked about it before.
Oh yeah, so like Garona, yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But actually, saying that she's not in this bit, is it? Mm. No, she is. No, the Garrison quest. Carry on in 6.2, mm-hmm. but the legendary quest line, which I believe that's part of, carries on in 6.1.
Correct. Yeah, they didn't cancel, but they delayed the other to 6.2. There was some tweet about
something. The thing that interests me the most is that you get the visitors. There are new visitors that are going to give you a quest every day, and you get the most important thing, which is loot. You can get level 630, 645, or 655 items. Well, you have a chance to get those items from the quests you get from your Garrison followers. And that's one of the, I'm guessing that's the intent, one of the catch-up mechanics for people who are, you know, who haven't been playing maybe for the past couple of months, and they just jump in now and they're like, well, I can't go through everything. But that is one way to get ready for the higher rates.
I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, I agree. The idea that you can, I mean, I know it's for the catch up folks, but also it will feel better for all of us to see higher level gear sets and things popping out of there for casual Garrison players, like, you know, people who are just going in and going, oh, I'll just do whatever missions it says are cool because my mod I have installed gives me all the best likelihoods. So I'll just click, 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 click. And they're not really being strategic about who they're leveling or who they're respecking or whatever.
And there's improvements on the UI for that as well. For the followers, it will show when, you know, there are a couple of mods very popular that do this already, but it will show when you have a mission with this or that characteristic, which of your followers have a trait that counter it, so it makes it easier to do that. But yeah, all of that for me, who is relatively casual on WoW at the moment, are the main things. They're the things that make it easy for me to just go in, do a little bit of things, and have fun, and then get out. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, and that's the point. The patch is a lot more... incremental. There's a lot of sort of smaller evolutionary things that people...
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a big sort of come back to WoW.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like... You know,
it's not a huge content patch.
Yeah, exactly. It's always going to be a bit of nothing.
Right.
But that's part of what it is.
Yeah, and having the you know, the raid content ahead of it is making it feel a little impotent, but I'm totally fine with it. Whatever, man. Like, they're putting currency in the proper order now. So when I open it up, the currency in Draenor will be first. I don't have to scroll down every time to see where the hell I am on my crystals and everything else I need to think about. So that's good. So there's lots of little things like that. I feel like the criticism overall out there of 6.1 being toothless is kind of bothersome to me. I don't know why everyone always has to have a big, explosive, splashy thing. I mean, I guess I'm kind of making fun of it for being a little fluffy, but to kind of hate on it just because it doesn't include a giant, huge
thing.
But this
is equally, though, this isn't a 0 point, you know, 0.0 something or 0.1 something. This is a big one.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have any big tent pole, like, boom, 6.1, you know, come back.
Well, it doesn't have any, in the large sense, instances. So you don't have any, dungeons or raids or battlegrounds or anything. So it's definitely a little bit more fluffy and less impactful. But the real question we have to ask is, do we have content to play on now? Would we be happy if the patch added on top of the very recent BlackRock everything, another set of instances, you know, another set of dungeons or raid tier? I don't think we need it. We have content now that we are still happy to be doing.
Yeah,
I think exactly. And I think this is a patch for the players, not for the unsubscribed people. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Whereas I feel like a lot of other patches are marketed in a big sort of like, boom, Warcraft still kicks ass.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's just like, hey, cool. We know you love it, so we've kind of, you know, shined it up really nice for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, thank you, Blizzard. This looks lovely. Yeah. Thank you.
This is not the Gates of Ankaraj. That's not what this patch is about. It's not like one of those big draws. This is just a, hey, here's a whole bunch of really improved things. Some new stuff, but, you know, it also feels like a clearinghouse for things that they maybe had planned forever but just finally got around to, like this Twitter integration and visual improvements and colorblind options and UI revamps, things that have probably been on a whiteboard and have been mushed down low by bigger deals. And they're kind of to a point now where they can say, yeah, we've pushed out our big raid content. Now, finally, we can get out some of these things that we may have been working on for years now. So I'm fine with that. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Here's something interesting. Holinka listens to the show. All right. He's listening now, I'm sure. He really liked our BlizzMebo talk.
Keep your eyes on the road. Keep your eyes on the road.
He liked our BlizzMebo talk. And I wondered why. He liked it when we were all disagreeing and all this back and forth. And it occurred to me, it's because he's the PvP guy. He likes
He likes a bit of PvP.
Yeah, a little person versus person action happened last week. And Holinka was all into that. So, hey, man, we're glad we inspired your day. And drive safely, please. We know he drives when he listens. So, and doesn't he have us on like 1.5 speed or something? Like, he sped us up, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so talk real slow.
Think how high Patrick must sound.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah.
Like a little chipmunk.
I'm really not sure what you mean.
You know what we're talking about, right? Like, have you guys heard that lately? It's really annoying. I don't know why people do it. So, Tom does it,
Patrick,
too.
Patrick, how dare you, sir? He's right here.
Yeah. But people that listen to their podcasts at like 2 or 3 times speed, like, here, let me do one.
How's that problem?
What? I hate it. Let me do it for you. Hold on. Let me play one.
I do that. And it makes, when I listen to the intro on this show now, very slow.
You're not listening to them, though, Scott. I don't get it. Like, it's not like you're listening. They're listening to it. It's fine.
Wait. It's our chance. It's our chance, Derpster. Scott, why is it the problem with design, physics, or cooking? All taught by experts in the field. You can pick the format you like best,
video or audio, discs or digital. Watch on a TV, laptop or tablet, or listen while you're cooking dinner. We're telling you this because the great courses have a special... Okay, why would you do that? Why would you do that to yourself?
That's me. No, that sounds like someone reading off the terms and conditions on something that I really shouldn't be buying.
Exactly.
But still,
Well, I'll tell you why people do it, Scott. It's because you produce so much quality content that we want to listen to all of it.
Oh, as quickly as possible. I see.
I want to
because we don't have all day. You know, we have jobs and daughters and sons and things to do. And we just have to soak everything in, and it takes time, and we don't have enough time.
I like the things that you say are so busy. We've got jobs, sons, daughters, and things to do. That list of four things is awesome.
This is just
my job is looking at the internet all day.
Yeah. No,
I don't know what real people do, Scott. I just imagine it in my
head. Assume these things are involved in some way. Okay, I'm not a time doctor. Okay, I don't know what you do with your time. I'm just saying things happen.
Yeah, brilliant. All right. So in the some more news, and then we'll get to our PAX predictions. Warcraft director Duncan Jones is defending the movie's use of CGI. I don't know why he feels like you have to defend it, but here's what he said. I hear the CGI in the film sucks mantra again and again. He he said on his Twitter page, before going on to say that he thinks CGI is a tool that can have both good and bad results, depending on how it's used. It can be done well and can be done shit, he said. The best CGI has you forgetting it's CGI and accepting the visual as whatever it's supposed to be. Like props, no one has any issue with props in films, do they?
Well, I'd say the same thing for actors. Like good actors, you forget they're actors.
Yeah.
I think it's the same with anything in a film. Is anything that reminds you that what you're watching isn't real, well, sometimes it can be very effective and very good use. But equally, often the idea of a film is to kind of introduce you to this lovely magical world that doesn't exist. And so, yeah, I don't think that that's...
I'm not worried.
I don't think many people have that real criticism, though, in terms of CG done well is a bad thing. But CG done poorly, like the Scorpion King with The Rock at the end of it, that was like his breakout film, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's his first thing. Watch it back. They didn't even use his face. They basically just like CG'd. They didn't, you know, put it was just like I still don't quite understand what the point of that whole thing was. But they had The Rock half man, half scorpion, and it was just is surreal. Just watch it and you just don't quite really understand what was going on there.
Well, there's always this period of we're not good enough at it yet. The craft hasn't matured.
No, because it wasn't even that. It was just like, you know, just a couple of passes from an actual decent rendering away from being good.
Yeah, that was weird. I'll give you that
like,
one.
There's moments like that in films where you kind of get taken out of the moment. But I don't think that necessarily there's too many... I can't foresee that happening with Blizzard, Industrial Light of Magic, and Legendary Productions. Like, I cannot imagine this film having bad CG.
Well, even... Okay, but I think the reason... And I agree with you, but I think the reason he's maybe feeling and sounding at least a little defensive about it is... There's a, I don't know, it's a weird backlash. There's this automatic assumption that something that needs a bunch of CG is just going to look bad. And we're not done any favors by the likes of, say, Peter Jackson, who has in many ways pioneered so much of what is good CGI now, but then kind of misused it in some ways. You know, like the way Legolas is used is kind of awful and terrible and takes you out of films, not because the CGI per se is bad, but the direction of how to use it was bad. So his point about, you know, it being a tool and using it properly, you know,
and it's the right tool for the right job though as well. It's like, you know, the Lord of the Rings looks amazing because they use so many bigatures, you know, these miniatures that are actually huge. That was a very common thing in the original Lord of the Rings. And the same with Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park stands up as a fantastic film nowadays. What was it, 96?
93 even. Yeah,
93. Wow, blimey! But anyway, it still stands up visually.
Did you say blow me?
He said blimey.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah, but yeah, blow me still. Like blow me. What? 96, 93. Blow me. But there's a lot of animatronic use in there. There are CG shots, and even for way back then. But they also use CG well. They were like, what can we do well with CG? Well, we can't really do humans that well, but we can do kind of biped, you know, kind of dinosaurs. And they're like, great, cool, let's give that a go.
Yeah,
it's like The Abyss in Terminator 2 still stand up quite well because we can do shiny shit really well in CG. Okay, well, let's make the bad guy a shiny robot, or let's make it made of water. Those sorts of things. It's all about using the tool correctly, and I've got no doubt, having seen what I've seen from the film, that it's going to be beautiful, but equally just with the people involved. It's crazy. But neither should they feel that, you know, Duncan Jones or Blizzard are going to be, you know, should be held, you know, responsible for everyone else's, imperfect uses of technology.
No, part of it is probably, it's so hard to deal with the obnoxious level of obnoxiousness that comes off of game fans when it comes to things they love, and they get so in your face. Like, he probably is a nonstop, you know, pounding post from WoW fans who are just at every second thinking of things that could be wrong with the movie or things they're worried about or whatever. It's like,
Mr. Jones, I noticed in the trailer it looked like Garona had some presence here.
Yep.
But King Lane didn't actually meet Garona. You're like, shut up, okay?
That's exactly it. That exactly is what I'm getting at.
Was he... was he reacting to comments about Warcraft, though, or about CGI
about,
in film in
about,
general?
About Warcraft and people being worried about CGI in the movie. So
yeah, I mean, I think especially to related to what Terpster was saying, it's the importance isn't necessarily that it looks realistic, and certainly in what we've seen of the movie so far, it doesn't look realistic. It's really important to use it well, and that's, I guess, what he's saying. It doesn't matter that it doesn't look realistic if you just get lost in the world, and we've come to a stage in computer graphics now that chasing realism isn't necessarily the best, you know, photorealism. I'm not saying you should have, like, just things that could have existed, but
Rubber Man. Yeah.
Recreate a cardboard Robo Man in CG.
Yeah.
But yeah, in this case, it's the use that you can make of that technology to create a fantastical world that you can get immersed in, and there's no reason that this would be not that this wouldn't be the way he's going about it, and he wouldn't be successful about it.
So yeah, yeah.
I'm not worried.
Plus, we've all seen some stuff, so we kind of know where they're headed. At least if what we were shown at BlizzCon is any indicator, like, they're fine. That looked great. That looked insane. So I don't know what people are worried about. Maybe
and
people
surprising.
Who haven't seen it.
And
I don't know.
It looked better than just. It looked better than what you imagine a WoW movie would be. I think it looked different and strange and, as I was saying, fantastical. And that would not happen without CGs. So,
yeah,
you know, if you don't want that, then maybe you don't want this movie. But I think you're going to be happy with the result.
Yeah, go watch your Ray Harryhausen movies with your stop motion if you think that era was so great in special effects. But as for me, in the right hands, CGI is badass. And everyone needs to quit acting like they're all put out by it now. Everything's CGI now. Yeah, because it's freaking good. You dipshits.
I much prefer games when they were just 8-bit sprites. Once they started using polygons and stuff, I was like, I'm out.
It's,
I'm sorry.
It's kind of the same thing.
That's a crutch, okay?
Yeah.
You're using the polygons as a crutch.
Yeah, just a crutch to tell your stories. Yeah. All right, we're going to make some quick predictions about PAX East. The HOTS team, or representatives from the HOTS team, the leads really, Overwatch and Hearthstone are all going.
Hearthstone, new challenge mode, bam.
Okay, you think that's it? That's their big push?
Challenge mode?
Yeah,
do you mean adventure? Yeah. Or?
Adventure mode.
Oh, right, adventure. Yeah.
Bam.
I don't know. I think. Well, that's certainly a possibility, but I think we're due for an iPhone version. And that could be announced at PAX. I could see it happening.
Yeah, it's about now. It's about time when they thought they'd be ready.
I don't know how the UI would work, though. I mean, technically, like, I got an iPhone 6 Plus, so it's got the same pixels as my iPad Mini. So,
but it's the size that matters in that case.
Exactly. Yeah. It's how do I see what cards are being played? How do I move them without picking the wrong one?
I'm so curious about this. Yeah.
If they were to just, you know, make it a smaller, actually they've said it, right? If it's not, you can't just make a smaller board and make everything smaller and just put it on a phone. It just doesn't work. You have to reimagine elements of the UI. And I think that's what they've been working on for months and months now.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be ready to at least show it.
Yeah.
And,
wouldn't it be good if they didn't have the innkeeper anymore, though, on the phone? If they had, like, you know, someone else.
Like who?
Like a gnome. Mm. Or someone smaller, because it's smaller. So maybe it'd be like, hello, friends! You know, welcome to my goblin small Hearthstone! It's like, hey, you copyright-stealing bastard!
Exactly.
Yeah, that I'd like that. A little bit of, you know, playing with a theme.
The tutorial could
but
be,
if it was,
yeah. The goblin versus
because
the
phones, it's easy to imagine. If it's an adventure, what would you like it to be? Except for Scott, who doesn't care about Hearthstone.
No, I do. I like Hearthstone. I just don't play it as
much
as Diablo.
I would like it to be Ulduar. I want it to be like, you know, loads of cool stuff like that. Northrendy.
Yeah. They could do, Ulduar would be good. ICC
I
or.
In Death Knights, maybe then. If they did Lich King and then we got Death Knight here. For classes, so we could have a new class to play with. That would mix up the meta. But to be honest with you, I think it's. That's potentially a little bit much.
Ooh,
for the old,
you know what? I'm gonna add to your prediction. I'm gonna say yes, new adventure mode, and yes, new playable class in the game. That's my prediction. You get both those things. And maybe phone will be shown. I hope so, because that phone thing's very, very fascinated with how they deal with those UI challenges.
Yeah, it's a real challenge.
Yeah, and it'll be, and I have no doubt they'll do fine. I just want to see it.
I think it's a little bit early for a new class. I would see it happening with an entire, well, maybe, I don't know. I think it's a bit early.
New class is probably an expansion-y type thing.
Isn't save
it?
That for BlizzCon, maybe?
Because you got to buy it as well.
Yeah.
Whereas they'd want the class to be, but maybe they could do both, but who knows?
All right, let's talk about HOTS, which is the other easy one, I think, or relatively easy. I think that we may get a release date. I actually think that's very possible, that they'll get up and say, yeah, we're going to release this in August or whatever they're going to say. But I don't know what else they show for that. New maps, new heroes. Like,
I'd love a new hero. I'm just trying to think, because they've already given us obviously Lost Vikings and stuff. They showed off at BlizzCon, but it would be cool to have someone
Deckard
else
Cain.
New.
Deckard
but
Cain.
I don't know. A Deckard, I'd love. Yeah. That would be so cool.
I would eat that up, man. Deckard Cain would be amazing.
Yeah. You get a big cheer for Deckard.
Oh, gosh. You could do a rock and roll racing car.
I mean, that's scraping.
I think
the
it's getting just a little bit.
Putting in a spiky race car is not that crazy of an idea if they're going to put in a siege tank. I realize it's a little less impression because nobody's playing rock and roll racing.
Again, the peon worker thing would be the best.
Yeah.
Like you had it, so it was like you could have, because the skins, you could have, you know, an orc peon or a woodsman or a SCV, you know, or Protoss probe or something like that. You could have these, you know, different characters that have been prevalent in all the strategy games. I'd love to see more stuff like that personally.
Yeah, I agree. That'd be great. You couldn't do a drone from the Zerg though, because he would just destroy himself by making whatever the hell he was going to make.
Exactly. And you'd end up with you know, confusion over, you know, what is it? I don't understand.
Some sort of
but
penis.
Then again, I've only got nine decks on deck slots on Hearthstone, so I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Just get confused by everything.
It just got into beta.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Aliasing.
Yeah. Do you say melee or melee? Where are you at on that?
If it's the washing
melee,
machine,
both
melee.
Work.
If it's the combat melee.
Okay.
But yeah, so the game, it just entered beta in January.
Yeah.
It would be a little bit early for it to launch. Although, you know, launching for a game like this, it's kind of like Hearthstone. You just, you know, at some point say, hey, we're live.
Yeah.
But I think they will go through open beta first. Maybe that's what they would announce.
Maybe. Although, good point, because it's just closed beta now, right? It's only closed.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But you can also buy in with the Founders Pack, and maybe they want to sell a little bit more of those before they go into open beta. Because if they, you know, someone buys the Founders Pack and a week later it's like, hey, open beta, maybe they would announce it to people a little bit earlier.
We're going to start a regular. So myself, Scott Kurtz, Steve Hammerker, and Jeff Cannata are starting a regular Heroes team, and I'm starting to feel that thing of, yeah, we're getting close enough to enough people in this thing that you could start seeing a lot of competitive play happen. I feel like this is the year to see whether or not HOTS can not stand toe-to-toe with LOL or freaking Dota in terms of numbers, because it can't out of the gate, but whether or not it can garner the kind of competitive attention that, say, Hearthstone has. Mm. This is the year to see, I think. I'm excited to play more, though.
Yeah. It's still in closed beta, so it's not even, you know, supposed to be competing with those. The draw of those games is that you can play for free, and, you know, anyone can play. So,
but
did you hear Kanada saying how he's now getting angry at people when they don't play well?
Yeah, that's what started the whole idea of we should do a team. And I thought to myself,
you're like, hang on, you like people who play well. You should play with me.
See, that's the fear, right? Is that we're all gonna get in there and nobody's gonna be good enough for Jeff, and he's gonna get, you know, it's gonna be the same problem. I don't know, but he's sick. He says he doesn't want to do randoms anymore, and so that's an interesting reaction. A thing that Blizzard's trying to avoid with this game is that some of those built-in anger tropes that are built into these MOBAs, and whether or not they can do that is yet to be seen. But you know,
play over in Europe and play with the Russians and the Poles, and you will find they are angry, mainly because I suck.
Why is that? Why are the Russians and the Poles so angry? What's up with that?
Because they are inherently kind of free to play folks, and they're really good, and they play a lot, and I'm not very good, and I don't play enough to be as good.
All right. That makes what you've said makes perfect sense to me.
But I mean, yeah, to an extent, I mean, those games are always going to be, when you get enough into it, you're going to be wanting to play with people who are as dedicated to it as you are. So I think it's unavoidable that at some point you're going to want to be playing with people who know what they're doing. But what HOTS is doing is making it more enjoyable for people who are just getting in or playing a little bit more casually, playing here and there.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's achieving that because, you know, from the game design point of view, LoL and Dota are really punishing to new players in a way that HOTS isn't. So it doesn't mean that there isn't a level where even in HOTS, at some point you're like, all right, I'm serious about this. I want people who know what they're doing.
It's AI skirmish mode stands shoulders above anything Dota and LoL present. And I realize that people who are serious about the game aren't going to care about playing computer opponents. But when you're ramping up and trying to get good, at the very least, Blizzard has given you a decent match. Like, it's not bad. It's kind of dumb, like they all are. You know, AI is never going to be as good. But I always felt like this way with StarCraft 2, even back in StarCraft 1. At least they gave you a pretty good computer mode to ramp up and to get good and to, you know, get good enough to then graduate into playing with people. And that's important. And I think they know that.
It's not just that, though. It's also the way the game holds your hand and the way it's designed in an approachable way. It's a whole, it's not just the AI mode.
There's a lot more to it. Uther is your buddy and freaking he'll help.
Well,
you out.
If you play Dota today, I mean, you go through like 5 minutes of picks, 5 minutes of bans, then you've got a 40-minute game. Whereas Heroes is 20 minutes, bam, mm-hmm. 20 minutes, bam,
yeah.
And it's so great to be able to just sit down and play that, and that's beautiful. Plus, you don't have to, because the talent trees are quite limited and stripped down. I don't need to know what items to build and which recipes then to transform it into that item, which then is going to help me with this build, which is really good for that. And it's all of those sorts of things that you just don't have to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's a very smart game for what it is. And to be honest with you, a lot of my friends who play Dota are playing more and more Heroes now because they recognize that actually, there is a sort of arcadey fun to be had to it.
Yeah, there's fun.
It isn't a Dota replacement for them, mm-hmm. but it's a nice place to go, a nice sanctuary to go to play it without the same stress and intensity that you get in a Dota game.
Sure, yeah, I could see that. I don't know. That's like it's like what Blizzard does. I feel like we're talking about things that seem, they're obvious to us because this is the way Blizzard builds games, but in a market as crazy as the MOBA market, it's a real breath of fresh air for me compared to the other alternatives. All right, Overwatch will be there, and I have zero idea what they're going to do. I assume we're going to see more heroes, more stuff, more gameplay, perhaps some game mode news and things like that, but what else are they going to do? Is it going to be, here's our closed beta?
It's you know, on Overwatch, it's really all over the gamut with it. It could be that they're just going to present the game on the show floor and let people play it, because remember, it's only ever been playable at BlizzCon.
Yeah, true.
So it might be that it's just that, and it's actually an event for a few people. And certainly in the past, what has it been, four mm-hmm. months?
Yeah.
There will have been things that have changed, so it will be news in itself for people who are looking forward to that game. But we could also see a bunch of other heroes and maybe, I don't know, other modes or other elements of the game that we haven't heard about, because it's also due for a little bit of PR buzziness. So it could be there too. It could be that too, all the way to actually announcing a beta. A closed beta date or alpha or whatever it ends up being, or even launching it at mm-hmm. PAX. It would seem a little bit unlikely, but it could, they could launch an alpha at that point.
I don't think so. I'm allowed to say, sadly, I wasn't allowed to go, but they're having a very small little gathering over in Irvine, on the 25th. Mm. And they're going to have some people play Overwatch. But sadly, because I'm a new dad, I thought against it, and I obviously now I realize this is what they talk
that
about.
That was a mistake.
Sacrifices, isn't it? That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Now she won't appreciate it, but you know, I missed out on playing Overwatch again.
Yeah.
But I think I think it's going to be kind of gearing up Overwatch again in terms of a big push.
Yeah.
For, I mean, I don't know anything. I just know there's a little trip visit thing going on.
Yeah, I heard about that too. But is it? It's probably NDA'd up to the wazoo, and nobody can.
Well,
talk
all
about
I know is that we're allowed to say that we're going if we're going,
yeah.
That exists, whereas previously that wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was ever intended to be anything other than a sort of, hey, here's a chance to get hands-on with it and, you know, build up the hype with some people and see what people like about it. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, I'd love to see, you know, how they're going to convey story, how they're going to get us excited about, you know, the Overwatch and the people within it and the different characters. You know, we got the big poster at BlizzCon, and there's loads of characters on here that I still don't know who they are.
Yeah.
You know, who's this big guy who wears a gas mask? Is he a gimp? Is he a pig? Is he both?
Gimp, you know, pig.
There's a cyborg ninja from Metal Gear Solid. Is he cyborg ninja from Metal Gear Solid? Yeah, there's still even characters that we've seen.
There's the cowboy dude. I mean,
the cowboy man. What's he gonna?
He's
a gunslinger.
He's right up in your face too. Yeah, he's super prominent on that poster. That guy, and we don't know a damn thing about him. So there's opportunity.
And I do a show with Garrett about Overwatch, which we've done a few episodes of. That I'm eagerly looking forward to getting back into.
What's it called?
Overwatchers, is it? Yeah, Overwatchers.
Is it?
It is.
I like that you can't remember the name of the show you're on. That's fantastic.
Overwatchers.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that there is a press tour probably means there is at least something new to show, which is not a surprise for anyone. But it does line up with the PAX thing. So I'm guessing that the NDA is probably going to be until around the time of PAX.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, everyone will be able to hear what they have to announce or, you know, to show. So there would be, in my opinion, at least... they wouldn't fly in people to play the thing they had played at BlizzCon, and most of them, I'm guessing, have already played Overwatch at BlizzCon. So it would make sense that there is something more.
Yeah.
I think, and this is pure speculation,
all right,
but I think they've completely rebuilt it, and it's now a Matchem puzzle game for the iPhone.
Great, great.
And I am excited about it. I cannot wait.
For the Nintendo 3DS, have you played Pokemon Shuffle?
No, I heard it's fun though.
Oh no, it's Bejeweled.
It's kind of fun, but it's worse.
It's Candy Crush. It's Candy Crush.
It's got jewels. It's got energy.
It's pay to play.
You have five lives.
Yes.
Yeah, it sucks.
That's ridiculous.
It's fun. Listen, it's fun.
It's
fun like Candy Crush. But it's insidious, like Candy Crush, in that the FTP or the F2 play crap is terrible, and nobody should buy it. But it's still okay.
Well, it's free. It's even free. It's like, I understand now why Nintendo is saying, well, we don't need to be on mobiles, because they're bringing the free-to-play model from mobiles that make so much money on their own systems.
Yeah.
Anyway, nope. Yeah. So
it's a
Overwatch
weird, deal. Yeah. So expect some things from Overwatch. We have no idea what. We'll see. Time will tell. Yeah.
I will venture a completely crazy prediction. What if there's Blizmeebos, right? No, I made that prediction in the previous episode already.
Yeah, sure you did.
What if they're telling us, hey, come to the thing, we're gonna tell you about Hearthstone and Overwatch, blah blah blah. And they actually introduce a new game.
Whoa. They could. Like those three guys could come together. Game. I doubt it, though, because you would only do that with your luminaries like Metzen or somebody.
Well, we don't know who's actually going. Maybe they're lying to us.
True. Hey, when Metzen comes to BlizzCon this year, Nerdtacular this year, maybe that's where he'll announce the new IP. Seems unlikely.
Probably.
He's coming, but he probably won't do that.
He's probably not allowed to say it, but he'll probably announce it all the same.
He'll probably know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't bug him when he's here, everyone. Be nice to him when he's here. Don't drive him crazy with questions about things you know he can't answer.
Oh, Mr. Metzen, can you say the elephants will destroy us?
The elephants will destroy you. It's like, oh, yeah.
It's my favorite Hearthstone sound effect.
It's a great moment. It's a great moment indeed. All right, let's do some Quick Town Crier.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
Oh, yeah. Town Criers, where you send in your calls and your emails. The number to call is 801-471-0462, 801-471-0462, or email us at theinstance@gmail.com. We have an email here, or a question here, about legendary monuments.
Hi, this message is for The Instance. This is Shroot Farms, Undead Warlock, on the Kilrog US server. Listening to the show this week, and you all were talking about garrisons and being able to customize those in different ways. There's already, you know, the ability to put pristine archaeological finds inside your town hall. There's monuments that take quite a bit of effort to achieve. I was thinking also what might be a good idea would be monuments for your legendaries. Really, really, really love the show. Thanks.
Boom.
Boom is right. That seems like an okay idea. Sure. I mean, I'm all about more customization in the garrison, so it seems like an easy one. They just put up these pedestals and suddenly your bow appears there once you've got it or whatever. That seems all right.
I like that. I like that.
Mm. Yeah, it's a nice
the
thing.
The only thing is what happens, for example, if I want to equip said item.
Yeah.
Like, lore-wise, is it just a replica? Is it the thing?
Well, maybe it disappears while you have it. How about that? That'd be all right. It's just not there. It's not sitting on the thing until you go back and swap out another weapon, and then poop, it's there again. I mean, they could go that far with it. But my
you
thinking.
Could put up the.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, please. You.
No, you.
You go ahead.
I interrupt you too much.
No. Here's the. I don't remember what I was gonna say now. Oh, I know what I was gonna say. If you
mission accomplished.
I'm into this idea of more
elephant
customization, shaggy. But I don't think this is what people are actually asking for. As much as I think that would be a cool idea, what I think they're asking for is being able to go and construct stuff, and like, you know, not I don't mean like straight up Minecraft their own things, but they want to be able to have more say about how everything looks, not necessarily how cluttered it is. So I don't know that this is the answer. But
different racial kits
thinking.
Would be amazing, though, wouldn't it? Just to be like, yeah, I've got a lumber mill, but it's a blood elf lumber mm-hmm. mill. That's mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. It's got red velvet drapes.
Yeah.
And everyone's like,
but
that's
way
lovely.
Too much work.
Mm. Well,
they can do one
build
for each
variants.
Race.
Why not? Mm.
Because the buildings are actually completely different. If they had to make racial variations for all the buildings, for all the races,
how
it would be
it
an enormous amount of. Oh, I think about 5 minutes for building. Five minutes or less.
You haven't got to animate them. You just got to put a building, light it, texture it, make sure it's fits in the game files. You know, I reckon give me an afternoon and I'll do half, and then I'll let them do the rest.
Mr. Turpin, you seem to have just made a square polygon, and I'm like, yeah, I said I'd do half, and you do the rest. Come on.
It'd be easy.
Yeah, totally understand.
But for the legendary monuments, I could see former legendaries, like things you got from way back in the day that you're not using all the time, and that you know the Blades of Azanoth or the legendary bow. What's his name? Well, there you go.
Thoradal. Yeah, it's a good bow. But yeah, I got Thunder Fury, so I'd like to have Alakir, what's the guy I killed for it? Anyway, there was a dude who was a big.
Alakir, the Wind Lord, or something.
Was that Alakir? I thought that's. Or am I getting him confused with who's in the Throne of Winds?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember. Anywho, so yeah, I just want him floating around instead of my fountain. I should be able to get rid of my fountain because all I try and do is jump on top of it.
Mm-hmm. It's a real problem.
I should have a giant elemental in there.
That'd be all right. Yeah, more of that kind of stuff. And let me do it freely. Let me go. I feel like a panda today. Let me just change everything to panda. Looking garrison, and then one day say, I think things should look more trolly here today. Have it all be bamboo and troll platforms. That kind of stuff would be cool, but that's a lot of art asset and a lot of work for them. So I don't know if they would ever.
Yeah, exactly, Scott. For them, not for us.
Not for us.
Okay, so I think we're okay. So I would like to say, Blizzard, you should do it.
Here is a world boss question.
Calling for the instance. Hi, guys. This is Kuchulain from Silverhand calling in again. Got a question for you and want to hear your thoughts and comments on this. I've noticed on our server, at least, interest has dropped off hugely on the world bosses, usually after the first few days after each one is introduced. I was wondering if you had any thoughts on about why that happened and maybe what they could do to improve it. For instance, I know the biggest problem, for instance, on the new one is it's a complete cluster to have to deal with. So that's about it for the question, and really excited for the instance panel at Nerdtacular, assuming there is one, and thanks.
There will be one. That's the plan.
And There's never been one before, though.
Nope, first time, and I think so Metzen will be on
why
it.
Why are we doing one now, Scott? That's crazy.
Well, we were actually talking, so the committee and I...
Oh, I get it.
No.
Is it because Chris Metzen's going? It's because Chris Metzen's
No, here's
going.
The thing. We've thought about it in the years past, but then, you know, last year you couldn't come because of the baby and some other stuff, mm-hmm. and year before that we didn't have Patrick, and Patrick wasn't even on the show, but, you know, like things like that. You want to have all these people there and whatever, And so it just never was like, well, we'll just spread things around. We're on all kinds of panels. No big deal.
So are you saying Chris Metzen's not going to be on the show?
I'm saying that if Metzen is coming. He will be up on stage with us, yes. We'll have him. If Russell's coming again, he'll be up there, surely.
That's amazing.
There's a possibility that Greg would be up there.
I would like to write a song with Russell. Can we make that happen?
Yeah, we can make a song with Russell, sure.
Can we make
that
happen? Yeah. I would like, to basically we create a ballad across the
Terpster's Lament, yeah. It'll be
wouldn't that be Lament of the Awesome?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's not any, it's all like rocking out and everyone's like, oh, yeah. Lament of the Awesome.
Well, here, put some lyrics to this. Let's do it. Right, here we go. All right. Sing.
This isn't awesome.
Okay. You want that? How about? Okay.
It needs to be like more kind of upbeat.
All right. Let me give
it's
you.
It's a lament, Scott.
All right.
It's all about how lamental it is.
All right.
Okay?
Here it is. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
All right, what do you do? Go.
So this is Russell. He's on the big drums and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Patrick's on this, like, old rusty brass horn.
Yeah.
Like that.
Uh-huh.
He has to have a cameo. All
right.
And then I'd probably come in with some sort of rap.
All right, rap, go.
About just awesome. Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Yo, listen up. It's time for the rhyme. Up with the remix. It's Terpster's rhyme. Like that. And it was like, what? You find rhyme with rhyme, it's better.
That
it's
was
meta.
Amazing. Amazing.
Right. I think it's congratulations. I was expecting my expectations were low. you underperformed even my expectations.
Yeah,
and then Metzen comes in and he says, elephants guide me. And then all these elephants come along. And it's and everyone's like, that was awesome. And I say, Lamental
awesome.
Of the Awesome.
Yeah.
And then it gets put in the next expansion.
That's
you
amazing.
Have to find you have to find Thralls. You know, he had those like love beads around his neck.
Uh-huh.
You have to find those and he picks them up and he's like, oh, I remember these, but the elephants trampled them. And he's like, the elephants have abandoned me.
I like Patrick. I came into this with very low expectations, but you've exceeded them on all counts.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I let Patrick down, but this is good.
Yeah, anyway. Looking forward to that panel. It's gonna be rad. That's gonna do it for us. No emails today. We had a Blizmebo one, but
the guy's
the world boss question.
He very carefully, you know, he was in his office and he was like, oh, I can't speak too loud. They're gonna hear me. And like I bet we could go in and analyze the audio and figure out where he was working, you know, where he's working and like find him or something.
We screwed that up. Okay, here's the answer. They're really, when they pop, they're exciting at first because everybody wants to do it. And when they're done, they don't want to do it anymore. It's like molten core. It's like anything else. So it's going to be harder to find organized groups or interested people because once the hotness is not hot anymore, people move on. I think that's all world bosses are suffering from. And I don't know how you fix that unless you want to have regular rewards or something that come from killing those things. But
because then you never get a chance.
Yeah, that's a good point. So get in there early, I guess, is the answer. Get in there while everyone's excited and then, you know, don't. I'm going to sneeze. Hold on. Oh, okay.
Wait for it.
Okay, went away. Oh,
that is terrible. That's the worst
feeling. I hate that
feeling.
I know. It's like, I don't even know. I don't know what to compare it to. Terpster could compare it to something, but I don't want to talk about that.
It's like when your baby poops and you have to change it.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's a great feeling.
That's when you remember that old phrase, here I sit all brokenhearted, had to poop but only farted? You ever heard that one before? It's like
I've never heard that, but I've heard it now.
I thought I had to sneeze and now I just have a little sniffle. Anyway, the bosses are hot. Everyone's excited. They're gone. Nobody cares anymore. That's how it is.
Oh, that's almost a haiku.
Yeah. It's like waiting again for... Like
the fart sound. I don't think you can ever call anything with a fart sound a haiku, regardless of syllables.
If you kill Pound Fist and get the mount, are you ever going to kill Pound Fist again? No. All right? That's kind of how the world bosses are. It's a little less like that, but you understand my point. You've got the reason to go. You've done your thing. move on. Nobody
but
wants to Bound do it 3 weeks later.
Dies and nobody sees him. Is he really dead?
Is he still a giant dick who doesn't drop enough and phased out too much? Yes. That's the answer is yes. There you go.
So answer, yes. Thank you for your call.
Thank you for your call. 801-471-0462. Again, is that number. Email us theinstance@gmail.com. Attachments are also welcome. Heck, use your little voice recorders on your smartphones, people. They're easy. It's going to do it for us. A reminder, speaking of Nerdtacular, this coming week, it's Thursday, I believe, the 25th. Is that right? No. What day is the 25th? Hold on.
Wait, Nerdtacular is the
25th? No. Tickets go on sale on the 25th. Sorry, that is Wednesday, the 25th of this coming week. Tickets for Nerdtacular 2015 go on sale, and we're very excited about this year. There's all kinds of stuff. I think a very heavy emphasis on Blizzardy things. We've got so many cool people. Kat Metzen. Chris coming, possibly Greg Street. I got to talk to him again, but he has some early plans to go. Possibly
he's not
Russell.
Officially Blizzard anymore.
No, so. But he's got the you know the legacy is there.
I'd love
Ooh,
him to
maybe we
us.
Can organize like a fight or a grudge match of something.
Oh, that'd be good.
Like that would no. You don't seem to be so much in favor of that.
Ghostcrawler versus Patrick. Why not?
Wait, why me?
Yeah, why you? Why
well,
him?
You came up with the idea. I thought it'd be quite good.
Yeah, we'll put you on enough, display. Sure, why not? But well, we got just so many cool things planned, and I'm so excited. Every year it's great. There's a brand new website up, nerdtacular.com. It's all revamped. You can see all our pretty faces and all kinds of cool stuff about the plans, what to expect, how to register for tickets, get hotel rooms, all that stuff. Again, that's nerdtacular.com, and the 25th is the big day. You can find us at theinstance.net. You can find Patrick doing all kinds of cool things, like being on Twitter as not Patrick. Also, he's got great shows going on. Patrick, what's going on this week? You have anything cool to tell people about?
Well, you know, I say really all the time on Twitter. So yeah, if you like that, that's where to go. And nothing really specific this week. So just follow me on Twitter and check out frenchspin.com in general for cool shows.
All right. Check this out. Here's Patrick. As you know him.
Really.
Okay, that's one way. But then here's another way you haven't heard him say before.
A really, really huge penis.
There you go.
Brilliant.
What is that?
It's some clip
that's
of some lady.
That's a testimonial from an ex of mine.
Yeah, it's some lady. Yeah. That's all of Patrick's, or all of Terpster's ex-girlfriends have
just
that much to say.
Just that one woman.
Yeah. all right, so do check that out. Terpster,
wait,
anything?
No, okay, never mind. I was going to say something about me saying really, and Terpster's girlfriend and me. Never
mind. Wow, whoa.
See where I wanted to go, but
I see.
Didn't?
We didn't take you where you wanted to go. I apologize. Yeah. You go anytime you want.
It was really, really disappointing.
Terpster and I have a very cool announcement to make, but not yet. It's I'm going to tease it like this.
Paula Johnson.
I'm going to tease it like this. I'm going to say... At least I think a lot of people hypothetically will be excited about it. That's all.
That's not teasing it. If you say the name, Scott, that's like the opposite of teasing. That's not going to help anyone if you just say the name in the tease. Come on.
Yank that Johnson right out is what happened.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say that you like promised Rosie to Nick or something.
No.
Like the arranged marriage. That would have been...
Nick is too old.
He's 14 daughter. Now. You know how old that is compared to that's 14 years too old. Yeah, you don't want that.
Exactly.
You don't want that. Although he is on the block, man. So many girls. Girls like Nick. Man, it's weird. He's even a little nonplussed about
is
it.
Is he playing
like,
the field a bit, though? Is he just not... He's a free spirit.
He'd rather...
He doesn't want to get tied down to one lady.
He honestly, and this is the truth, he'd rather be playing Hearthstone than hanging out with a bunch
wouldn't
of girls.
Wouldn't we all, Scott? That's the problem. Okay. But he's got the rest of his life for that because he won't have a choice when he's older.
Yeah.
That's all he can do.
It's all
but
very
now
exciting.
He should be going out there and saying, my dad does podcasts on the internet. Mm. And then all of a sudden, what's that? What's that rumbling you hear in the background? It's a horde of ladies being attracted to the sound of someone whose dad does podcasts on the internet.
Basically. Yeah, he owes it all to me. We'll see if we can't get him married upright one day. Follow Terpster at _T. Is there anything else happening you want people to know about? Probably not.
No.
You never do.
No, I'm sorry. I'm very dull.
Follow the Yogscast if you aren't already. There's great stuff happening. Terpster shows up all the time over there, so, you know, he's got that going on.
Get my drunk out.
Don't know where Dills was today, but you can follow him at Willie Dills. You can follow me at Scott Johnson. You can follow the show at Instance Show. Our theme was created by Matthew Oxley. Big thanks to our intern, Paul Swickard, who handles our website stuff. You can find more shows like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Terpster, for Dills, and for Patrick. We'll see you next time. No, nothing.
Bye!
5 guys, Chorister, formerly Dark Pippi from the Earthen Ring server. You guys last episode talked about the possibility of amiibo-like figure for World of Warcraft, and Terpster and Patrick kind of was down on the idea and thought it was really stupid. But I think that you all kind of missed a big possibility and a new game that would tie in perfectly. Think Heroes of the Storm. You have all of the Blizzard characters that you could purchase via a small Meebo-like figure that could pull them into the game. So you could buy a, let's say, a starter set, just like Skylanders, where you're paying $50 for the portal and 3 characters. That's your starter set for Heroes of the Storm. So you get the characters, you play with them, and it works kind of like Skylanders. And if you don't want to do it like that, you don't have to. Anyway, love to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Hey, Instance crew. This is Nathan. I've been playing World of Warcraft for, since the beta of the game. And I wanted to chime in on the trash conversation. I really feel like trash is for 3 things specifically. And the first one is really practical. I think they're all really practical, but the first one would be drops. So if you're choosing especially to run instances for drops or to level, you need more mobs to get more stuff. So you're either creating monetary viability through the dungeon by having trash because then it's dropping more money, or it's dropping greens, or it's giving you more XP. At level 100, it might not be the XP need, but you still have drops and making yourself monetarily viable as you go. Second one is introducing mechanics. If you notice, especially since Mists of Pandaria, trash usually has one mob that introduces a major mechanic of the upcoming boss. So I think that trash is really important if you're paying attention because it actually soft introduces you to a mechanic. And the last one is that just like how D&D campaigns get created, all bosses rarely equals creativity or story. So, like, the story in Trial of Champions or really worked out because it made sense to be in an arena setting with all bosses. But the story of Slagmines works really well because it's all these, I'm pretty sure, all these ogres. And, of course, there would be tons and tons of ogres and they're keeping slaves. And, of course, there's ogres everywhere. So you have a bunch of trash. Anyway, those are my thoughts. Thanks so much.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Balgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, would it be okay for me to take my new date to see 50 Shades of Grey? Well, my first question for you is, why would you want to do that? If this is your first date with a new special someone, you should probably concentrate on making a good impression. You might want to take her to a local tavern where you can have a nice meal, or up to the top of the tower at Razor Hill so you can watch a beautiful sunset together. Your date will be more interested in getting to know you than in seeing the 50 grey items you are still hanging on to from your leveling days. Just remember this. If you spend your whole date at your barn talking to Farmer Locklob about the 50 grades of hay, I think your first date will turn out to be more like 50 ways to leave your lover. I am Miss Mulgrew, and that is my advice. Akamagosh!
Follow at Miss Mulgrew on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgrew.com.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.